To go ahead and get started with our last session. So if you're in the hallway or the foyer, I know breaking up fellowship is hard to do, but come on in and have a seat. And we are excited today to have with us three experienced couples to share a little bit of their experiences throughout the years and how they have learned to flourish, or at least consider that. Now, let's get some perspective here with the crowd that's in front of us here. How many of you, just a show of hands, okay, how many of you have been married under 5 years? Anybody out there been married under 5 years? Okay, it's a good chunk of here. Okay, 5 to 10 years. 5 to 10 years. Okay, actually, I'm going to go back. Anybody under a year? Anybody been married under a year? Okay, one couple, fresh, yeah. Okay, 5 to 10 years. What was that, 5 to 10 years? Okay, there's a few. 10 to 20. You notice how it starts blending together. You get bigger numbers here as you get a little further on. 20 to 30 years? Okay, quite a few. 30 to 40. Over 40. Wonderful. Wonderful. I love the breadth of ages that we have here, an age of marriages. Now, I'm going to ask each of these couples to just give a brief introduction. In that introduction, please share how many years you've been married for that. Yeah, you'll need to turn your mics on there, and they can all be on at the same time. So we have Ed and Bonnie Souder, Mike and Barb Meese, and Matt and Dana Knapp have joined us. And so, Ed and Bonnie, why don't you just start and just introduce yourself to the crowd.
Good morning. I'm Ed Souder, and this is my lovely wife, Bonnie, of 47, soon going to be 48 years. Actually, it's 46 years of wedded bliss, and 2 other years were less than that. Maybe 1 year. Anyway, we're from
Roanoke. Would she say the same thing?
She would. Okay. Maybe more. Okay. Anyway, we are from Roanoke, and we have 2 converted sons, and both married, 5 grandchildren. And before I go any farther, I just want to commend and encourage each of you who are here for the effort and the investment that you're making in your marriage. When you think of how many years you went to get educated, to get your degree, and now you've spent, 8 or 10 hours here, and the influence that you're going to have on your children, and just think of the history and the legacy of giving your children the example of a solid marriage. Someone said that's the best thing you can do in your life is be give a good marriage for your children to model. So with that.
Mike and Barb.
I'm Mike Meese, and this is my wife, Barb. We go to church here in Bloomington. We have 2 converted children and 5 beautiful granddaughters. Been married 51 years.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Matt and Dana.
Yeah, we are Matt and Dana Knapp. We have been married, it'll be 24 years this summer. It was actually 24 years ago today I called Everett Harry and said, I would like to marry Dana Banwer, would you pass that along?
So, great way to spend your anniversary here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We have 7 children. We live in Peachtree City, Georgia. 2 children are married. Lexi is in Washington. She's almost 23. Seth is in Denver, Colorado. He is 21. And then at home, we have 5 children. Megan is almost 19. Micah is 16. Twin boys, Joshua and Caleb, that are 13. And then our daughter, Paige, is 9.
All right. Well, thank you, first off, for being willing to be part of this panel and being willing to kind of walk through. And just for everyone's awareness, I gave them a list of questions a couple weeks ago. We talked briefly via Zoom for a few minutes just to kind of talk about it. And then I've just asked them to share through these questions. So I'll walk through them. Each couple will share as they feel, and we'll learn together lessons on flourishing. So first question I asked them to think about. What do you think of, when you think of the word flourish in marriage, what comes to mind, or what is one way you can tell your marriage is flourishing? That's really kind of the hallmark of that question. What's one way you can tell your marriage is flourishing? Okay, so let's start here with Ed and Bonnie again and kind of walk through however you want to fit.
To me, a marriage that is flourishing is a marriage that is thriving and healthy and making progress. And one aspect in our marriage that really helps it to flourish is communication and to be a good listener. So you really need to express what's on your heart if you're in an unhappy place or in a dark place, you need to share that with your spouse, because they are the one besides Jesus that you should be able to share anything with. So you need to really make an effort to not just clam up and do the silent treatment or just let it simmer inside. You need to share that with your spouse, and you need to ask them, what do they have to share with you? Just communicate really works for us.
That can be a great hallmark then, right? You can sense when the communication is strong, right? That's a good spot to be in. That's a flourishing spot. And when that safety isn't there, or that has become shut down, yeah, great point. Mike and Barb, anything to add or think about?
Well, one of the reasons that I think our marriage flourishes is we both can't wait to share things with the other one, even after 51 years. It may be something as simple as something funny one of the grandchildren said, or something serious that happened at work, or just something that we've been thinking about. But even after 51 years, there's times I just can't wait to share with him what I'm thinking about or something that has happened. The other thing that keeps, I think, our marriage flourishing is, and we'll say this to each other, I do it for you. And I'll try to wheedle a little bit and say, well, don't you think it'll be fun? Don't you think it's what we're going to do will be fun, and we'll learn from it? And the other one will say, I do it for you. And I think what we're really saying is, I am willing to sacrifice my time because I know it will make you happy. And I am willing to get out of my comfort zone, which is even a little harder. I am willing to get out of my comfort zone for you because I know this is something you really want to do.
I'd pass this on to Matt and Dan, except I will just add, Bonnie talked about communication. There's also that element of commitment, and that commitment is strong. And you step into this with the knowledge, I'm going to make this work with the Lord, and together we're going to do this. We have that commitment that carries us forward, and that's very powerful. It's probably the most powerful thing we do. We're committed to this, and when we're dissuaded and discouraged, we come back to the commitment. The essential person that I fell in love with is still there. 50-some years have gone by. I can remember when I first met her. I can remember all the details. It's all there. It's still there. Mm-hmm. Nothing changes. But you have to keep working. You have to keep the flame kind of working.
Matt and Dana, any thoughts to share about this?
So, yeah, your first thought when you think of flourishing is I think of, you know, a time where we've been away to an all-inclusive in Mexico, and that feels like you're just flourishing. Right. But when I thought through this question, I think when I really feel like we're flourishing is when life circumstances are difficult and we are still able to connect one with another, that we're able to share, we're able to express, we're able to listen. And I think those are the moments where I recognize that we are really flourishing and thriving.
My thoughts were, I feel like when we're flourishing, Matt will feel respect from me and honor, and I will feel cared for, heard, and valued.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That respect and that esteem, that back and forth relationship, which is built upon communication, which is built upon the sacrificial, I do it for you type things. I really appreciate those word images. Hopefully you're able to pick up some of those word images as they've walked that through. Now I'm going to stay with you, Matt and Dana, and let's go through this next one, okay? So I want us to think about in a busy or stressful time, right? In a time when it's not going so well, builds a little bit upon what Mike was saying. There's a commitment piece probably, but just what are some disciplines or what are some things that you've learned to help kind of move your marriage towards flourishing in the midst of those times?
So as I thought of this, the thing with disciplines is so often you have them and you don't know they're there. And so it was a really good question to ponder. But I think one of the disciplines that we have had that has helped our life is that we go to bed together all the time, just about every night. And that seems like a small thing. You say, what does that have to do with flourishing? But I think what it has done for our relationship is there's always that end of the day that there is a moment of tenderness, a moment where we say goodnight, and a moment where we remember that we are blessed to be one with another. I say, you know, I wish I could say we're super spiritual and we spend about 45 minutes on our knees in prayer, but the truth is, you know, we usually clasp hands, we pray in that moment, and my right foot touches her left foot, and we go to bed in that manner. And I think what that has done for us is allowed us to remind ourselves for one moment at the end of the day, no matter how difficult the day is, that we are going to continue to commit one to another and be together.
Anything to add to that?
So the question of think of a stressful time, yeah. And I feel like with seven children, we've had a number of stressful times.
A couple of stressful times, two, maybe three.
And I think as parents, we help each other, and mm-hmm. I think Matt's strengths are not mine, my strengths are not his. In the midst of that, sometimes we can be frustrated with one another, but also I've reminded myself often, without him, I would be a total failure as a mother. Mm-hmm. And I feel like getting through the stressful time of realizing that we're a team and we really need each other in that.
Appreciate that. It speaks back to that commitment piece. Mike and Barb, as you kind of think about this, with your 51 years of experience, what has gotten you through stressful times?
Well, of course, we're one in the Lord, but we are also individuals. And so when I think of times of grief or loss, mm-hmm. when things aren't going well, we may react in completely different ways. One may want to talk through it, and one may want to sit in sackcloth and ashes. And so we have to learn in those times how to stay a couple and still give each other space to grieve or process things the way they do best. And the one who maybe likes to just sit and process may say, well, I can listen. I can listen to the other one. And the other one who likes to talk may say, oh, I can always talk to God, and maybe I need to talk to a counselor at times. And I'll just share a personal experience. When we were going through a difficult time, my daughter said, Mom, she said, I'm going to pray that every day you find a blessing and something to be thankful for. And I thought, that is really a wonderful thought, and I'm going to journal it. So I bought a notebook, and it forced me during a difficult time to look for the ways God still blesses me and to write them down. And it made me aware of his presence even in difficult times. And then it also gave me a record that I can look back and read how he was faithful and say, he was faithful then, he'll be faithful in the future.
I'd only add one thing, and it will take away from the great serious moment she just presented here. You have to have a sense of humor, and you have to smile and laugh, and we have shared humor, and you must have that too. And you must be able to put things in perspective, and kind of, we have certain responses, and we know how the other one's going to respond. And it's kind of a setup, or like a comedy team, where we set the other one up to laugh about this, and we know we're going to respond that way, and we go back, and we use it. In 50-some years, we have certain setups for one another that we laugh, and I know it's going to get that response, and it kind of breaks the tension, and it also takes us away from the gravity of the situation. It says we have to put things in perspective, and there's always a moment we have to back up and say, we have to laugh and say, I'm going to war over something here that I'm very well going to lose. And I, many times in my life, I've won the battle and lost the war. So I would say a sense of humor is pretty important, too.
That's a great point. Great point. Ed and Bonnie, what, as you think about your years of marriage.
We've kind of got a little saying that marriage, of course, is all about love and romance. And we appreciate that part and the physical affection we have for each other. But sometimes when we get in the middle of the battle, it's teamwork, partnership, friendship. We are not going to fight against each other. We're going to both be united in whatever the war is, whatever the situation is, and then the friendship through it all. I heard a little bit about humor and about touching, and we can have a few things that we just learn to laugh about it and smile, and then we move on. But that teamwork, partnership, and friendship has been invaluable for us. And then one other thing we've always fall back on, at least I have to, sometime when I'm really upset with her and she just, you know, emotions are all gone. You have no emotional connection. I love her out of obedience to God rather than how my heart feels. Mm-hmm. And I realize that when I said yes 47 years ago to love her, I made a promise to God, and I will not break that promise. I will love her unconditionally. And I know she, after I told her that, she said, well, I guess I'll have to do the same thing and love you back. So that's been a good two-way device that we've used quite well.
I agree with everything you said. And also what Mike said, we laugh a lot. We really have some good times laughing together. Almost every day, we just laugh. And I appreciate that connection we have through humor and laughter. But also one discipline we've done in our marriage in the morning, I can't say every single morning, but we go directly out of bed to our knees, and like Matt said, my right leg is over his left leg, and we're intertwined like this, and we're praying, and he
keep warm.
He prays out loud, or I start and pray out loud, but we both pray out loud together, kneeling by the bed, and it's just a wonderful way to start the day, a great connection. And we, like every marriage, you have stress, you have hard times, you have difficulties, but I appreciate what Mike said. You are in it for the long haul. You do not throw in the towel. You do not give up. You persevere because you made a promise before God and to your husband. It's for life. And you, I mean, unless you're being physically abused, you need to be separated. Sure. You know, you don't put up with being hit or, you know, there's a time for separation.
Sure.
But we persevere. We have persevered, like all of you have, through a lot of things. So with God, all things are possible. God is the center. He's your rock. So... it's not an option to quit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So we heard this idea of commitment, right, through all of the couples, and then that discipline of being together and finding times to be together. And the other thing, at least stuck out to me, is did you catch the common theme of humor, right? Of being able to take those moments and not take them too serious, right, and find that balance there. The scriptures, we just talked about this in our breakout last time, the scripture says, it says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep, right? Match those emotions, but not just think about the weeping all the time. I think we can be drawn that way, but then that rejoicing piece too. Find ways to rejoice together and laugh through the midst of those differences and different things. Thanks for that. Let's build on that, okay? So one of the questions I asked them to think about is just, there are differences, okay? I mean, conflicts, there's going to be conflicts. There's hard times, right, in marriages. And lots of times those conflicts are built upon differences, you know, that we might have in our lives, right? So how do you navigate? I'm going to assume that each of you is a little bit different from your spouse. I mean, as time goes on, maybe you get a little bit closer together in your personality. But let's assume, you know, there's differences. How do you navigate that? And how do you keep that sense of flourishing in the midst of it? Mike and Barb, why don't you go ahead and go first with this one?
Well, in talking with other couples, I am convinced, this is just one small aspect, that one person likes to save things and hang on to things as mementos, and the other person likes to throw things out.
In every couple? And pretty much every...
And which am I?
Won't be too hard to figure that out when I'm done.
I have no idea what you're talking about with that one at all.
So anyway, we have lived in the same house for almost 50 years now. And as you can probably guess, since I'm the one that likes to save things, that our basement is kind of a mess. And so last winter, Mike said, you know, we really need to start going through this stuff. And I thought, oh no, this is not going to end well. We won't be speaking to each other for the next month. And what really helped is we set some boundaries before we tackled the project. And I said, okay, but if one of us really wants to keep something and has a good reason, the other one needs to let them keep it. And we agreed to that. And it really freed me up because I thought, oh, I don't have to really dig in my heels or anything. I can express what I think. And it went so smoothly, I was really quite proud of us.
in your mind, yeah.
Yes, pride is not good in a Christian. But the other thing is sometimes conflicts can get out of hand real quick, and you don't have time to set ground rules or boundaries. And in those times, I have found one thing I have said is, stop. Let's start over. And we start the conversation again, aware of where it can go if we're not careful. And the other thing is what Bonnie said is, or somebody said, I reminded us, we are a team. We are on the same side. We're working for the same goals. And sometimes in midst of conflict, it's hard to remember that. But if we can come back to that, I think that will always make our marriage flourish.
I would only add that as an individual, we should not be alarmed when we don't get what we want in life. You have to say, what am I doing here? Where is this going? And in moments I've lost control and been very angry, it was Barb who stopped it because she saw where it was going. And I could see it too, but she saw it quicker. And I might have been saying things or thinking things that I shouldn't have. I'd gone beyond the argument into something else. And she has the ability to kind of stop that. Doesn't happen often, but it has happened in 50 years. And we kind of have a... We know this about each other, and we said it to the couple we were with at the break, is she would agree, and I would say I'm better at backing up than she is, and she's not as good at it. The reason is I've had to do it more. She hasn't had as much practice, and she hasn't done as many goofy things as I have, so she doesn't have to back up, and she's not real good at it. It's hard for her, you know. I'm used to it. I'm an old hand at it because I've had to do it so many times. But we know that about one another, and we know how we function. And so that's we know that is the strength and the weakness. We know as a team it works that way. And I would also add, she didn't want to do this today. And so she said, you know how you have to do that. She didn't want to do this, and she said, what have you gotten me into?
I do it for you.
So, yep, there
so
you
she
go.
Did, she thinks she's doing it for me, but in reality she'll learn when she's done. She did it for everyone here because she has something to impart. So, yeah, she didn't want to do it, and I just used her own expression. She always says, Mike, when the Lord opens a door, we should walk through it. So I said, Barb, when the Lord opens a door, we should walk through it. So
I said, me and my big mouth.
Oh, I appreciate that much. Ed and Bonnie, talk through that one, if you would. Differences, maybe, or just some things that have you navigated that over the years, or anything you want to share in regard to this?
Well, when we have differences, the first one, we go back to that last answer. When we said we love each other out of obedience to God,
yep,
not necessarily
yep,
emotion.
Yep.
So we've kind of got this little expression. We've learned that when our love decreases, our fault-finding increases. Mm-hmm. If we quit loving each other, all of a sudden we can pick and find a zillion things the other one does wrong. Mm-hmm. So we try to flush it out first with love straight up. And then the other... thing we do is we really try to listen to the other person's point of view, and then once we're done we would say, okay, what's your solution? And so it's easy to find fault, but then mm-hmm. to come with a mm-hmm. an mm-hmm. answer, this is where we should go. Mm-hmm. We found that to be a good good mediation point. And then, like Bonnie said earlier, we really try to communicate and listen, really listen. One of our favorite passages in James, or it should be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen.
Quick to listen, yeah.
Whether it's covert or your spouse, wait, don't get angry, listen, see what's going to happen.
Sure, sure. Bonnie, anything to add to that?
He's an excellent listener, and I really appreciate that about him. He doesn't interrupt me when I'm venting to him. He listens, and I want feedback, and he gives me feedback, sometimes not as much as I want, but he will always be honest with me. I can always trust him to be totally honest with me and share his heart. And I think for men, that might be sort of hard to do sometimes, but he is very transparent with me, and that's very important for a female, I think. Don't keep any secrets from me. I want to know what's going on in your heart and in your mind. Mm-hmm. And he's a good communicator and a great listener, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that.
I've learned over years of marriage, sometimes it's better to be effective than to be right. So you might win the battle, but you lost the war. So.
Right, yeah, like Mike was talking about earlier, there's a difference between the battle and the war. Great point. Matt and Dana, anything on this one to add?
We are different. I would start with that. We were listening this morning as Caleb talked, and he was talking about pursuers and withdrawers. My wife smiled at me. She said, I said, you're a pursuer. She said, yeah. And she said, you're a withdrawer, but you think you're a pursuer. And she was exactly right. So we are definitely very different. And what I think the biggest difference is we try to communicate. I tend to be an extreme expander. And Dana is an extreme condenser. And so at times I'm thinking, I don't have enough context. Could you tell me more? And at times she's struggling with, you know, could you be quiet and just give me the point? And I think that is something we are chronically working through is how do we communicate in a way that helps the other person understand? And we have not arrived, but I think we're growing.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this question together, but that's exactly what I was thinking was in our communication. And I feel like he is an expander and I'm a condenser, but I'm kind of a harsh condenser. And so I think working on expanding myself, working on saying more kindly, mm-hmm. and also showing grace to the other, because we know that about each other when mm-hmm. we both can go that direction. It's helpful.
So also on love languages, I love words. And so I'm just thinking she ought to gush over everything I do, you know, like have five or six sentences of how great it was. And she's into service. So I think I'm gushing over all these things that she's done. She's like, could you just get something accomplished in life? And so it is an opportunity for us to continue to grow in.
It's an opportunity. Yeah, I appreciate that phraseology there. You know, one thing that came to my mind is that we talk about, you know, any type of relationship, right? There's kind of two keys to an effective relationship. It's if you can have mutual purpose for each other, right? If you can center yourselves around a mutual purpose, which we've heard this idea of commitment. We're in it together, teamwork, that kind of a thing. No matter the differences, right, we can realize that big picture of that mutual purpose and then that mutual respect. And that's what I was hearing here, this idea of respect and love and esteem for each other in the midst of that. Enough respect and love to listen and to kind of bite your tongue, you know, if need be, or to just listen to the emotions and the venting and the dialogue that goes on there. So thanks for sharing that. A couple more questions here with our time. We're going to go to the next one here about priorities. This is really kind of where I centered this one around. How? What are some ways you find you have found helpful to help prioritize each other in the midst of life? Prioritize each other towards deeper emotional intimacy. How do you establish, again, maybe disciplines or habits is maybe a better word, in your marriages that push you to prioritize your spouse? What evidence would there be to show that that's true? Matt and Dana, let's stay with you. Go ahead and share whatever you have.
So I definitely feel like just making regular dates and time together is a way to prioritize one another. For myself, I really, especially in the last several years, have appreciated going through books or listening to podcasts It's easy to know who I want to be as a wife, and it's much easier for me to get caught up in life and not be that person. And so reminding myself of who I want to be. I also feel like accountability. I appreciate that in another. My sister, for example, will text each other and say, what have you done special for your husband this month or this week? And just keeping each other accountable to remember to do those things. It's been really helpful to prioritize.
No, I don't have a lot to add. I think, as Dana said, I think our consistent time together is really important. The other thing I feel like for me is reading when she wants to talk and being willing to stop. I like to schedule my life, and so I've got a date night, I've got a talk time, but there are times outside of that where she needs time, and I need to learn to stop and give it.
It doesn't always fit into your schedule.
It doesn't. So frustrating.
What an opportunity, right? Yes. What an opportunity, yeah. Mike and Barb, anything that you can think about with the priorities?
One of the thoughts I want to share with you, and someone told it to me many years ago, and it is that we really only become unhappy with our life and our lot when we compare. When we compare with someone else. We compare with their life. We assume we don't know them very well. We come to church. You say, greetings, brother, greetings, sister. But we really don't know. And our assumption is everyone's marriage is just wonderful, and ours is the one that's less than wonderful. So we start comparing. Generally, when you think about it, you're very happy with what you have. Your car is fine, unless it won't start. Whatever house you have, that's fine. It's shelter. And so we're fine. But then we start comparing. Then we're not so happy. And we start comparing our spouse and saying, well, he doesn't do this or she doesn't do this. No, because our spouse is not that person that we're comparing to. They're our spouse. So I think comparing is one of the things that you can't do, and you can't fall into that. You can't become snared by comparing. I think that's very a detrimental thing as a believer to start comparing too much about mm-hmm. their marriages and their lives and what they have and how much money they have and whatever comparison snares you and grabs you.
I just would quickly say people with young children have date nights. Well, we don't have any young children in our house anymore. We're empty nester.
Yeah, every time's a date night. Yeah, there you go.
But we always kind of have fallen into a pattern. On Saturday morning, we make coffee, or might be reading the paper, but we've fallen into Saturday morning as our sharing time. How our week's gone, what we think about this or that, and it's just a discipline we've fallen into naturally.
It's kind of that time where things have gone through the week, and it's time to go back over it and say, this didn't go so well, or I've got this coming up that concerns me or worries me. And it isn't necessarily that she solves it, it's that she listens to me, and I have a way to bring it out. I take out the problem, I kind of hold it, and it's kind of like, okay, it's not as big and as frightening as I thought it would be. Hmm. And so that moment of sharing time, and she kind of knows then what I'm facing, and she's been imbued with great common sense. And so I count on that common sense to say, well, yeah, I can see how you think that way, but have you thought of this, or I don't think this, or something. Saturday mornings are kind of a special time. You say, that's a date? Yeah, we have coffee. We sit in our living room and we talk, and that's probably the sustained talking time that we have to cross over many bridges and kind of reacclimate ourselves and use one another as that support that we so desperately need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That regular discipline time. I appreciate that. And Bonnie, what have you found ways to prioritize?
I think this is really odd, but we really click when we're faced with a little diversity or a project. When we work together out in our behind our house, wherever it's at.
I want you to say that a little bit louder for my wife to hear. Can you say that just a little bit more? Yeah.
My wife works as good as most men. I mean, good. When I was good. Real busy, good. She would have the oil change and clean out the gutters and all that stuff, and I'd just go to work and come back. So she's a great backup. But we work together on projects, whether it's with chainsaws or weed eaters. She's a gal. Uh-huh. And we go camping and get in real horrible situations where it's raining or snowing and we're lost, but we kind of tag team with our various skills and compasses, and we just, it's kind of grown us closer together, whether it's cutting down a tree in the back it's doing some crazy adventure. She's just been, and that's kind of a time when we've made great memories. We forces us to really work together, teamwork, partnership, friendship. And don't worry, we have the eating out nights. You know, once we got became empty nesters, we got this new habit. It's called eating out, and we're really getting good at it. And you order enough for two nights, and then you have those leftovers.
Oh, after that. So stretch it.
Stretch it. Yeah. Anyway.
Bonnie, would you agree with that or just kind of share that, add to that?
I agree with everything he said. Life with Ed is not ever boring. And like Barb said earlier, how did I agree to this? But he has gotten me way out of my comfort zone. And everyone here, you are capable of far more than you think you are. Seriously, in your relationship with each other, whether it's physical pursuits or just surviving married, you are capable of far more than what you think you are. Don't stop short of victory. With Jesus, you can have victory in everything. And he has broadened my horizons so much in the last 47 years that I'm thankful for those experiences. And had I not agreed to step out of my comfort zone, I would have never had the joy of spending what really cements us together is when we share a challenge and accomplish it together. Whether it's working in our 28 acres clearing brush and branches and trees. And I love to go outside. I love to work beside him, and we are a good team. And whether it's climbing a mountain or backpacking, it's overcoming hardships, because stuff like that has hardships, just like a married life. You overcome the hardships in your married life, but you persevere. That word has real meaning to me, because all through our 48 years of marriage, perseverance. Plus, God, I mean, pray, pray, pray. He's faithful, and I'm thankful.
I appreciate that. Really great examples and vivid examples for us to think about. Just a couple of questions. We're going to walk a little bit more quickly through these last couple of questions here, and they're really centered a little bit more towards legacy or just thinking about passing on, okay? So the first question, I'm going to give you a phrase, and I want you just to finish it, one or both of you. I want you just to finish this phrase, okay? Mom and Dad, or Grandpa and Grandma, kind of just either case there, think about that. We know that you cherish each other because blank. How do your kids and grandkids know that you cherish each other? Mike and Barb, what do you have to, what would you say to that?
Well, I must confess, I have three ministers up here, that the question said, how would you hope your kids and grandkids? But when I read it the first time, I didn't catch the word hope. So I thought, what would they say? And I had no clue. So I actually texted them and asked them. And I said, if you don't have an answer, that's okay. So I'll quickly, if it's okay,
yep,
Arlen,
yep,
read through some of the things that they said. They said, aligned on faith and family activities. We plan holidays and vacations together, make our relationship our priority. We have a shared commitment to be involved in the lives of our grandchildren. And one of our granddaughters said, you allow each other to have space for interests outside of your own, not hindering each other in the pursuit of our own interests. And another grandchild said, we have a shared value of giving back to our community and our church. And our daughter said, you're both lifelong learners. You like to learn new things. And I'll just relate, when we travel, we are sightseers. So we'll go here, there, and just see as much as we can. And when our kids were young, of course, they had no choice but to go along and have a very full schedule. And we tried to include some things that they would like, maybe an amusement park for a day or something. But I was reminded of thinking about this, that our son, Justin, at one point said, "Dad, can't we just relax?" And Mike said, "Relax, we're on vacation. You can relax at home."
I really have nothing to add to that. I won't even begin to. Barb and I are committed to people. I mean, we see ourselves in a world filled with all kinds of individuals. And I've been blessed. I'm 74 years old. I've been blessed beyond measure by being involved and working with and meeting and seeing all kinds of people. And he has provided so many opportunities. I couldn't have begun to ever think that I'd get to do the things that I'm doing and have done in my life. It's been a blessing beyond compare. And sometimes the most difficult times have turned out to be some of the best times. The defining moments of our lives together and individually have been difficult times, but also wonderful blessings. The Lord, in his graciousness, Barb has borne with my infirmities, and I've gloried in her graces for 51 years. I'm saddened that I'm not young so that I could not live another 50 years with her, because we just enjoy our life and have been blessed beyond measure.
Wonderful testimony. Thanks for that. Matt and Dana, anything to share? How do your kids know that you cherish each other?
The first thought that came to my mind was I would want them to say that we're each other's best friends, that we enjoy our time together. And also with that, I think marriage is sanctifying, and our kids have said, and I would want them to say they've seen us grow in sanctification and in the way that we relate to one another and work together and view our marriage.
Years ago, I heard somebody say, you know, they'd never seen their parents argue, and that seemed like such a high place to esteem to. And we've kind of gone on a different side of that. Our kids have seen us in conflict. They have seen the difficulties, but them also seeing us work through those difficulties, I think, is a joy. And we want them to know that there is conflict in life, but God is faithful.
Ed and Bonnie, any thoughts about your kids or grandkids?
A number of years when both of our boys were home, they used to laugh. They'd come home at 12 o'clock before they're converted and walk up the stairs. They'd stop halfway. They could hear both of us snoring. They thought that was pretty funny. But then later on in life, one of my sons said, "Dad, what were you and Mom laughing for last night as we were going to bed?" And I said, "Oh," I kind of told him. He says, "You know, it's really comforting when I can hear you and Mom laughing and enjoying each other." And I guess I think I would say that for what we would hope our children would see in our marriage is that we really have a good time together, and we can really laugh, and we play hard, and we pray hard. I think they would hopefully.
And work hard.
Like all of you. I'd just say that, too. That was the first thing I said. We have fun together. I would think that's what our grandkids would say, because through the years they've seen us have all sorts of experiences together where we really, end result was we had fun.
Last question, last chance here. I'm going to ask each of you as a couple, in just one short phrase or sentence or whatnot, what words of wisdom would you leave for any couple, regardless of the length of marriage? What's, as you look back and kind of reflect and think about your marriage and your relationship together and God's faithfulness in the midst of it and the idea of flourishing together, what words of wisdom would you leave with any couple? Mike and Barb, why don't you go first, and then we'll keep that same pattern.
I'm going to be very short. Better days are ahead. Whatever you're in now, better days are ahead, and you have to hold that in your mind. Whatever difficulties you have, that doesn't define you and needing to control you. Better days are ahead. You have to think about your life and your marriage, and then and hold steady to the fact. Return to the light, stay out of the dark. Better days are ahead.
Well, it's been brought up several times, but one of the first things I wrote down was you keep your sense of humor. And his sense of humor was one of the things that attracted me at the beginning. And he still makes me laugh, and sometimes I make him laugh. So I think keeping this sense of humor, it's been mentioned over and over, but it's very important. The other thing I thought of is don't expect everything to go smoothly. And if you expect that, then you're always disappointed or confused or whatever. But I have be prepared to work through issues and differences and concerns. And the last thing I wrote was pray for each other. Sometimes when someone's going through something, we worry about it, we try to fix it, and I forget, oh, yeah, first thing I could do is pray for him.
Man, yeah.
I'm seeing Ron back there. And years ago, he gave me a phrase, and if I butcher it, please tell me later, Brother Ron. But he said there's a French phrase called, I think it was, viva la différence, but magnify the difference. And I think that's one of the things that I would encourage and leave with, that there is a difference between men and women. There is a difference between our personalities. There is a difference between the way we look at life. And that is God's gift to help me see him more clearly. And as I look at some of you early years in marriage, that is one of the things that I have the greatest regrets on as a young husband, is I didn't see Dana's differences as a gift. I saw them as something to change. And so I think I praise God. And that would be my encouragement, is let the difference in your spouse make you more like Jesus wants you to be.
Dana, anything to add to that?
My thoughts were not to give up. Not give up on commitment, but not give up on a better relationship. There's God's grace is always there for the day, and there's always opportunities to improve in lots of areas in our marriage. And not to be afraid to ask for help. Sometimes we just need somebody to come along with us for a season. And also, most often, we're better off focusing on ourselves and what we can do to change ourselves than on our spouse.
Ed and Bonnie, any last thoughts, words of wisdom to share?
The first thing that came to my mind was be like Jesus. And then when you start thinking of the attributes of Jesus, he was not selfish, he was unselfish. He came to serve, not to be served. And that goes with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So be like Jesus and love conquers a lot of difficulties, and just be humble. It's hard to be humble because you want to have your way and you want to be strong-willed and stubborn, but that will get you nowhere. So be like Jesus. And one other thing that Barb touched on, this is right or wrong, I just say, don't have any expectations, and you won't be disappointed. We do need to hold our spouse to be our spiritual headship of our home. So that's an expectation that is a good expectation. But work can be so unrealistic, you know, with our expectations. It's ridiculous. He doesn't expect a lot out of me. This is one thing we really have in common. He does not expect a lot out of me, and I truly don't expect a lot out of him. So it works.
Ed, any thoughts?
Follow that up, Ed.
I regret. Just from being around a lot of young college kids, we've gotten this discussion before, and we nailed it down to one thing. As you prepare for a marriage, these young brothers are thinking about asking for some sister, and they ask for advice. They say, if you give them one small piece of advice, be as close like Jesus as you can. You're not going to be perfect, but strive for perfection in your spiritual walk. Bonnie hinted on that, and all these other things will kind of fall into place. So we strive to be just like Jesus.
Really appreciate that. And really appreciate each of one of you taking time and sharing your thoughts. Some of those last thoughts, just think about some of those things that were shared there. Remember, the better days are ahead. Keep that sense of humor. Don't expect everything to be smooth, or don't have those expectations that are just going to naturally be broken over time. Be willing to, I'm not going to say French, be willing to magnify those differences, right? And realize those differences are sanctifying. Don't give up. Be willing to ask for help. Love conquers all. Be humble. Pray for each other. And strive to be like Jesus in every aspect of the word. And God will be blessed. And thank you for sharing your wisdom and your experiences over the years. Really appreciate it. And thanks each of you for listening and for taking time to be part of that.